The African Nova Scotian Justice Institute has received some funding to continue its legal work. We're here today with Interim Acting Director Robert Wright. How are you doing, Robert?
I'm good, thank you.
Thank you for being here. Robert, can you tell us a little bit about your role within the African Nova Scotian Justice Institute? What does it entail?
Yes, sure. Well, my role as the executive director, of course, is that kind of, I guess, high-level administrative work. I ensure that funding is in place and that the resources are available for our staff to do their work. And I guess I take some responsibility for government relations and negotiations at that level. But the Institute itself has a mandate to really be serving the African Nova Scotian community and communities of people of African descent throughout Nova Scotia in the field of justice.
And can you tell us how much funding did the Institute receive?
Well, the Institute received, when it began, $4.8 million for 3 years to do its work. And the provincial government has just announced that it will extend our initial three-year investment for an additional 2 years beyond that time, to the tune of $4.1 million over 2 years that would commence in 2024.
And how will these funds be utilized within the Institute?
Well, like most nonprofits, the vast majority of the funding that we receive is related specifically to staffing, staffing for the various things that we would set out to do. So the African Nova Scotian Justice Institute really provides, we envision ourselves providing services in three different areas. In direct legal service delivery, in what we call strategic justice initiatives, and in forensic assessment and treatment. Those are the three main pillars of the organization at this point. And in terms of what services look like in those pillars, I could describe them all a little bit in greater specificity, if that
yes, would be. Please.
So, in terms of our legal work, the within the Justice Institute, we actually operate a nonprofit law firm that provides free legal services to African Nova Scotians and other people of African descent across Nova Scotia. And, you know, we already have a Nova Scotia legal aid system, so it's not like every Black person who needs a lawyer will come to the Justice Institute, but there may be particular cases where individuals either are not eligible for legal aid, but that their issues are relevant to justice-seeking issues in the African Nova Scotian and Black communities generally, that would suggest it would be important for the Justice Institute to take on that case. And we are certainly developing expertise in that area of critical race adjudication or legal work, so that we have a very particular African Nova Scotian and Black lens on some of that work. So that's an expertise that we can lend to other organizations. So if a Black person actually has a lawyer, but that lawyer doesn't have that expertise, then they can consult with the Justice Institute around some of those things. In that legal pillar, though, we also see that we have a mandate to do some human rights and policing oversight work. You can imagine, for example, that street checks is an example of the kind of activity that police have undertaken historically that has had a negative and dramatic impact on the Black community. Well, the Justice Institute is there as an arm, as you will, of the Black community to bring legal recourse to those kinds of issues. And also in terms of human rights. In the 2003 human rights case that was won by Kirk Johnson, for example, is the matter that brought street checks clearly into focus. And although that was a 2003 human rights case, much of the work that was supposed to be done in that case was left undone until 2019. So clearly there's a need for some Black organization to be looking at what's happening in the human rights arena and to be following up on matters to ensure that even when people of African descent in Nova Scotia win their human rights cases, that the kinds of remedies that are recommended or mandated by the Human Rights Commission are actually completed and carried out. Mm-hmm. That's just our legal pillar.
Sorry, can I just, Robert, for our audience members who are not familiar with the Kirk Johnson case, can you just give a brief summary about it?
Sure. Well, Kirk Johnson is an African Nova Scotian who was a world-class heavyweight boxer who, when he visited home in way back then, he was repeatedly pulled over by police, And he said, well, you're pulling me over because I'm Black. And he launched a human rights complaint against the police. And the Human Rights Commission said, yes, indeed, it seems that the policing that was done here in this case was racially motivated. And so the Human Rights Commission said that the police should keep race-based statistics on their traffic stops and their what we used to call street checks to ensure that the police are not racially motivated in their behaviors in those areas. So the police were ordered to keep track of their race-based statistics, and they were also ordered to conduct an academic study of this matter to uncover or to address the nature of policing in this area. Well, they did not, they did start keeping track of their statistics by race, but they never did do an academic study until 2019, when, as a result of FOI-popping the race-based stats that the police were keeping, the whole issue came back into focus. And then you'll remember that the Black community impressed on the Human Rights Commission the importance of commissioning an academic study of these race-based stats. And that's when the Wortley report was commissioned by the Human Rights Commission.
Thank you for that, Robert. I wanted to speak a little bit about how you help a client get legal aid. Can you discuss the process? What kind of cases are you focusing on?
Well, I would say that legal aid is a pretty straightforward process. A person who has a legal problem can apply for legal aid. And if they reach the eligibility criteria, they get legal aid from Nova Scotia Legal Aid. But sometimes either individuals are unable to receive support from legal aid because they are not eligible, or there might be some kind of conflict there. In those cases, the Justice Institute is available to provide direct legal support to individuals who may need legal support if those issues fall within our mandate. And our mandate is, of course, pursuing justice for people in the Black communities here in Nova Scotia. So in those kinds of cases, then, an individual would certainly just be in touch with us. And we have two lawyers currently that work in our justice, under our justice, our legal pillar. And we do an intake and decide based on the merit of their case and its how it meets our mandate, we would make that decision there.
And what kind of cases does the Institute focus on?
Well, there are a lot of criminal justice cases, so people who are charged under the Canadian Criminal Code. There are some employment cases. So people who are feeling unjustly treated on the job. There are certainly some human rights cases that we're tracking and following as well. And then there are our appeal cases, and these are cases that perhaps might have been criminal cases that were heard and adjudicated at the lower court level that perhaps are being appealed to the Nova Scotia Court of Appeal because of some of a race-based issue. So an example of this is the Anderson case, where there was a case of a Black man who was charged with a firearms offense. He was given a community-based sentence by the provincial court judge. The Crown appealed that sentence, and the precursor to the Justice Institute at that time, the DPAD Justice Working Group, engaged a lawyer to represent us as we became a party to that appeal. And there was the matter in that case was whether or not judges had the capacity to use their discretion to sentence Black folk to community sentences, given some of the racial factors and dynamics in those cases.
How long has the Institute been around for?
We've been around for about 2 years, but I should say that the work that African Nova Scotians have been doing around access to justice issues, that work has been going on for about as long as there have been African Nova Scotians. That work has been going on for a very long time.
And how long will you be acting as interim acting director? Do you have individuals in mind for the position?
That's a really good question. I initially signed on to the work just for a very short period of time. I signed on in the summer and said that I would hold the role until the end of that calendar year. And that was a year ago. So I've been in the role as acting director for, about a year and a half now. And I think that we'll probably be assessing my tenure there. Certainly over the next couple of months, we'll be seeing whether or not it's time to appoint a permanent executive director. I should say that it was not the original plan that I would serve in this capacity. I was originally just a member of the selection committee because I've been one of the organizers of the Justice Institute. But when we were unable to secure a person to serve as acting as director, I was asked to serve as acting director until such time that we could have a full-time director. And like I said, that was about a year and a half ago. And I guess I've stayed in place because we have been doing so much work just staffing up the Justice Institute that there were some who felt that we really needed a period of stability and some space in which to do that work.
Thank you so much, Robert. Is there anything else about this that you would like to add for Dalhousie audiences listening?
I would just say that, the African Nova Scotian Justice Institute is an example of community-based innovation to address systemic racism issues in this province. And that I would encourage people who are at DAL to think about the ways in which they might be able to support or contribute to the issue of anti-Black racism and how it exists in the province, and to know that in their work, they have an ally in the African Nova Scotian Justice Institute. So we're always looking for ways in which our work can complement and support the other work that is happening, not just on behalf of people of African descent, but all equity-seeking and justice-seeking peoples. And so as your work aligns with our work, we'd like to consider you a partner.